B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Win at Bruin style. Bruin style. It's playoff time, and now St. Louis plays the Bruins. And just like with Toronto, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, cause we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Marchand, cause that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Chara, Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat St. Louis! Let's beat St. Louis for the cup!
Hey!
We want the cup!
Hey!
Let's beat St. Louis! Let's beat St. Louis for the cup!
Hey!
We want the cup!
Hey!
And this is how we're gonna get the Stanley Cup!
Woo! Woo!
Win it Bruins style! Everybody now!
Hey!
Hey! Stanley Crazy! Win it Bruins style. Hey, David Krejci. Win. Win it Bruins style.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Give us a call at 617-779-0985. We are, people are in the Town Fair Tire Studio. I believe Wallach will be back in the Town Fair Tire Studio starting on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Wallach?
That's what it's looking like. It's looking like that, again, subject to change, but if I had to put money on it, I'd say yes.
That's the scheduling, is that, because I know that, I think the afternoon show has, is everyone there? Is Maz there too, or is it just?
Maz is currently not. It's Felger and Big Jim.
Okay, so it's Felger and Jim Murray. Okay, all right. But Felger's been there for most of the time, if I'm not mistaken.
He has, correct. Yeah.
Okay, so. So, yeah. So, those two are going to be back then. And I don't know what the situation with the midday show is. I don't think anybody's there, right?
Not yet. Nope.
Okay. All right.
Hardy's been coming. Actually, the Hardy's been coming in. He was here last week for a couple of days.
Is it?
I didn't see. I don't know if I saw him yesterday.
How's it been at the station for the last couple of weeks for
he
you?
Was, actually, he was. Hardy was here. Yeah, he gave me the finger when he walked by.
Has it been, like, how strange has it been just showing up?
You know what's funny, guys? You know, the people that are here, we've gotten into a pretty good routine of, or whatever you want to call it, a dance or whatever, of how we all do our things. There are other radio stations here with other morning shows. Now I'm currently seeing other people in the building walking around with masks on, like in just up and down the hall. And it's like, wait a minute. We've been here for what, 10, 11, 12 weeks, you know, now. And we've all done a pretty good job, I think, of, you know, staying away from each other and sort of doing that dance. And all of a sudden you walk in the bathroom and there's someone with a mask on that you work with and you're like, oh, hey, you know, instantly you get an odd feeling. So.
Oh, it's going to piss you off. It's going to feel like you've been invaded. Like
we just don't want, yeah, stay away. Just leave us alone.
Right.
It's like you guys being at home. Just like, leave us alone.
I mean, because you guys got this like thing where, you know, everyone's got this trust with each other. You know that, you know, I'm not going to get in your way. You don't get mine. And all of a sudden the doofuses show up. The people just like the bowling balls. Hey, man! Who have no idea like the ways and means how you guys have been working. Like this little ballet you do when you go into the bathroom and then you come back out and all of a sudden it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, you know how small the kitchen is up here on our floor. I mean, there's a bigger one that's downstairs, but not that I've been in there because there's nothing in there. But the one that we go to for the coffee and stuff like that. You sort of you do that dance. You wait until someone's done.
Is the now person that loves the kitchen still at the station?
Currently, no. There's only on-air personnel here, Fred.
Okay, because so. When that happens, I mean, there's going to be, you know, a month that you're not going to be able to get into that kitchen.
Exactly. It's been so long that I forget who that person was. Like, I forget who the person who loved the kitchen was. Yeah, I know there was one person who used to go in there all the time.
And, like, make a concoction. That was just fascinating to me because I was right in my eye line. Mm-hmm. And I would see, and there would just be this concoction being made that required every drawer to be opened and all these
like Gordon Ramsay in there making like breakfast, you know, like a chef like in there for a long time.
Yeah, like Tupperware coming out and all this. It just was a fascinating dance until the point where I went, what could you possibly be making? Like what in a kitchen without a stove or a table or, you know, like burners could you possibly be making in there? It's taking you 20 minutes to make whatever you're doing. And I don't even believe electronics were used. Not electronics or anything, like with using a motor.
The microwave or anything? No.
No.
Oh.
It was just all, what do you call it?
Churning butter? The person was in there.
what is
doing
it
everything
where
manually?
Where you mix the chemicals, like something like that. Alchemy. It was alchemy or whatever it is.
Alchemy.
Alchemy?
Alchemy, yeah, is what it was.
Now you're talking John's language. What are we talking about?
Yeah, yes. John all of a sudden perked up. So last night, you know, it's 9:30. Everyone's to bed. And my wife and I decided to watch something. We had finished up the old SCHITTS Creek, which now you don't get the last season because it's a Canadian show until October. And the last season is over now in Canada, but you don't get it here in the U.S. on Netflix until October. And so you know how Sandler has those movies on Netflix and you just they all suck and you're like, what are you going to do?
Like the Ridiculous Six and he made like a bunch of those. You got a deal, like a six-movie deal, I think, where you just made just the throwaway Happy Madison films.
Right, and they're like all on location, somewhere nice. And he casts his family in them and his wife in them. Well, I had a friend who told me to watch this one called The Wrong Missy. And it's David Spade and Lauren Lapkus.
Well, that's supposed to be pretty good, actually. It's supposed to be pretty funny.
And I watched it, and we ended up watching the whole thing. It was actually good.
Yeah.
Lauren Lapkus is very funny. And so there you go. Do you know there's Adam Sandler coming up? He's not in it, but it is shot in Hawaii. And his wife is one of the stars. And his wife, it's very obvious it's his wife because you're like, that's not someone who can act. And then you go, and then my wife's like, oh, that's his wife. And I'm like, oh, that explains a lot. So, it's set in Hawaii, and Lauren Lapkus is actually very funny. So, shock of shocks, I don't even think it's an hour and a half. If you're looking for something to watch, The Wrong Missy, it's like watching 2.5 TV shows. Huh. And it's right there for you on Netflix.
I'm halfway through a season of television that have you ever gone into a season of TV and you're halfway through it and you're like, I don't even know if I like this, but I've made this investment.
Yes.
And I got to kind of see it through. I'm like that with the third season of Westworld. Like I gave the season one of Westworld was fine. It was actually pretty good. Season two, like, lost me. And then they introduced that Aaron Paul, the guy from Breaking Bad, was going to be in the third one, and they were going to completely switch it up. Like, they're not even in the West anymore. They're, like, out in the world. And I'm like, all right. And, like, Marshawn Lynch was in, like, the ad. I'm like, okay, well, Marshawn Lynch is in it. This might be kind of funny. And I'm four episodes in, and I don't know what's going on. And it's not that I don't know what's going on. I don't even know if I even care what's going on. It's one of those shows that, like, looks cool, but I don't know really if any of it matters. Like, so, but I'm four episodes in, and it just must be my lack of, like, of creativity and choice that I just have been like, all right, I'll just try to watch the rest of Westworld. So I got four episodes left there. It's an hour each. I don't even know if I care about it, but I'm, like, too lazy to find something else or start, like, a whole new thing. It's just kind of, like, comfortable and boring. So I don't know. It's like I'm stuck in it, and I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know. I found myself, I did watch a movie the other day that I just was like, all right, why not? Like, I've never seen Dune, and I'm a huge David Lynch fan, but it's known as like a movie that David Lynch hated doing. And it's like, cause it's like a science fiction movie that apparently, like, he was basically taken off the project. So I watched part of Dune, and like halfway through, I'm like, now I know why I never watched Dune. Like,
Sting in that?
Oh yeah, yeah, Sting, and like, but all Sting does is like look menacing. Like he doesn't even—they hardly even have him talk, and he's like all like oiled up and slicked, and he just comes like prancing through. It's like, who's Sting? And like it says music by Toto at the beginning of it.
Oh,
I'm like, all right,
you can't like that.
I was like, how can I lose on this one?
But Sting's on this documentary that I talked about before, which is about these celebrities' experiences with psychedelics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's being kind of self-effacing and stuff like that. And Sting's on a couch. And, like, he'll, like, take his leg naturally and, like, put it over his head. And then, take the other leg and, like, put it behind him, like, while he's talking. And he's just, like, the most annoying human being. Like, I get it, dude. Like, he can stretch.
He's Mr. Tantric yoga guy. Yep.
Yeah, he's just sitting there talking. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, he's the most unnatural sitter of all time. He like, puts both his legs, like, on either side, like a praying mantis. It's like, just sit down.
Well, that's Fred. Why I find myself like in the dark end of like Apple TV. Like I told you about, we haven't even discussed it. That movie about the two people who are obsessed with Tiffany. You know, like I think we're alone now. Singer. Oh, it's crazy. Put it this way.
Oh no, but that's on Apple TV. Okay, that's why I couldn't find it.
It's on. I think it might be on Netflix. When I say Apple TV, I mean that's what I've got that connects all the things. And so like I found myself watching that. I almost watched that movie about this woman who just wants to swallow weird things, like objects around the house, and she becomes obsessed with that. I know you watched Butt Boy.
No, I mean, did not watch Butt Boy.
Oh, okay, because I heard
the trailer for Butt Boy.
Oh, it's great. The reviews are through the roof. And like, you know, I've read about it because that was another one where as I was choosing which dark side of the, you know, of Netflix am I going to watch, I almost chose that one. So I went Rotten Tomatoes. I spend way more time researching what I want to watch than actually watching it. Cause half the time I'll turn on, I'll fall asleep like 45 minutes into it. And I think that night I ended up choosing the Nicolas Cage meteor movie called Color Out of Space. I think it was, which is pretty damn good to be quite honest. The Nicolas Cage Renaissance I'm here for, but we're running out of things. The quarantine is just everything you wanted to watch. You're through it now. You're done. And no one's making new material. There's not a lot of new stuff coming out. Because it used to be like every Tuesday you would go, oh, the movie I missed at the theater, I could watch that. Dude, it's been like Scooby-Doo and like movies that came out 2 months ago. And that's it. And you're sitting there going, all right, well, that's why you end up watching Dune, a movie from 1986 that apparently was panned by every critic, but because you've run and a movie called Butt Boy, because everything else has been watched and you've seen everything. Dude, I watched, and this is true, I after talking about the Lord of the Rings, I watched the entire trilogy with my family. I was like, hey, you know, let's watch Lord of the Rings.
Oh, my God.
It's like 9.5, like 10 hours long. I've watched that. I've like ripped through an old season of Survivor. And it's not like I'm watching a ton of TV. It's just that it.
No, you're watching a ton of TV. I mean, let's be honest. It might not feel like it, but that's a lot of television.
Well, I mean, but that's over the last like 2.5 months. I mean,
no, I understand.
It's just it replaces what we all should be watching, and that is the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and all that stuff. So you put an hour a night, you know, on in front of you, and. Dude, I'm running out. I'm running out of things to watch. I'm not going to start Ozark because I don't really feel like starting a new show. It's like too much work, it seems like. That's why I'm stuck in a stupid season of Westworld that I don't even know is going to get a
Fleabag.
Fleabag's good. Now I did start Fleabag. Now Fleabag is a new show that I did start, and I like that show a lot.
But my wife is like, "I can't understand the British accents." You're like, they're speaking English. I mean, come on. All right, Rich. A lot of labor news yesterday. Nothing more exciting than labor news, but there was a lot of it yesterday. What do we got?
Oh, the NHL stuff's legitimate, though. Like, let's talk about that, because who would have thought the NHL would have been the proactive one? We will get into what seems like a real plan that hockey has for coming back.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there are plans if hockey indeed starts again. And the Bruins get the short end of the stick, no pun intended.
Will knock me down and steal my teeth. The NHL actually has a plan?
For purposes of nomenclature, record keeping, and NHL awards, the 2019-20 regular season has been deemed to be completed.
Yep, that is the voice of head foot dragger himself, Commissioner Gary Bettman, not dragging his feet. Yesterday, the league announced an actual plan for returning. First of all, the remainder of the regular season will be dismissed, so all hail the winners of the 2019-2020 President's Trophy, the Boston Bruins. I'm sure that's something that everybody wants to hear. Secondly, an expanded playoff format was announced, and it's unnecessarily complicated. Here it goes. 24 teams are included. Just everyone jump in the pool. Those 24 teams will be the 12 best teams in each conference based on points percentage. Now, the top four teams in each conference will have a bye into the first round of playoff action and will not have to participate in the play-in tournament. That obviously includes the Bruins, but that doesn't mean they won't be playing hockey in the meantime, because the top four teams in each conference will participate in a three-game round-robin tournament. So there's two kickers here. Number one, it is unknown if the outcome of this tournament will determine the seedings of these four teams, one through four. They never stated that. In that case, then why have it? But if it is for seeding, which more than likely it will be, then the Bruins, the only 100-point team this season, a team that finished a full 8 points ahead of second place this season, could enter the playoffs as the four seed. That all seems so weird and so unnecessary. Then the remaining eight teams will have a play-in best-of-five series to advance the first round of the playoffs, and initial talks have suggested that after the play-in tournament games, there will be no reseeding and that the NHL is going to use a bracket-style format, although that is something that is still being discussed.
Well, that would at least be nice, a bracket-style format instead of having them. So that means that they wouldn't have to play Tampa Bay right away.
Well,
correct?
Doesn't it depend on where in the four
the seeding
spots they end up getting
them? If they're two and Tampa's three, then they get Tampa in the semis instead of the finals.
Right.
But ultimately, I wanted to ask you guys this, because the first thing I thought of last night was, I kind of understand why they want the top four seeds to get some games in, because it really wouldn't be fair if you have, take a team, say Montreal pulls a first-round upset and it's a best of five. They play five games, and then they go and play the Bruins if they reseed. If they go and play the Bruins, who have been off since March, they haven't played a game that meant anything in 3 months. Meanwhile, you have another team that just went through a five-game war that is much more prepared to go and play than they are.
Not if it determines your seeding.
How else can you do it? That's the thing. If you want teams to get game ready and actually be prepared for round number one, you know, exhibition games aren't going to be full speed. Home ice advantage, obviously, there is none. I mean, theoretically speaking, it depends on where these two hub cities are. But home ice advantage won't mean all that much. And, yeah, you might get a team that you wouldn't ordinarily see until the finals and the semifinals of the conference. But I think getting game ready, considering all the time that these teams have had off, is going to matter.
I just think
But you've just completely negated the regular season.
It's
which
not
doesn't
perfect.
Seem,
it's not.
No, I mean, that's,
it's not
that's
even close.
Far from perfect. Yeah,
it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Okay, well, then do this then, John. Just start it with the top. Why have 24 teams? Just do the top 16.
because you have enough teams that can have it. I understand why Bettman did this. There's less of an argument if you look. You know, the gap between teams 12 and 13 in each conference is at least 3 points. If you have just the top 8 teams in each conference, I think there could be tiebreakers. It could be, you know, a 1 point difference. There are fewer arguments this way, I think. Right.
Plus, I also think he just wants these markets involved.
Yeah, well, that's,
I mean, that gets him. Yeah, this gives him Toronto. This gives
Montreal.
Him New York, Montreal. Yeah. I mean, he wants those teams involved.
Yeah, the Rangers actually get shut out, I think. I think the Rangers finished 3 points behind.
No, Carolina would play the Rangers.
Okay.
Carolina at 6 would play the Rangers at 11.
Okay.
And the Penguins at 5 would play the Canadians at 12. Okay, well, so I guess the Maple Leafs would be anyway.
Well, but, here's Bettman talking about that format.
24 of our 31 teams will resume play. The top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points.
All right, he just ends up explaining everything. But the plan is basically have the game played at 2 locations. One for the Western Conference, one for the Eastern. Yes, finally, enough of this 6-city nonsense. Here are some of the cities that are being considered.
We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in 2 hub cities. One will be the site for the resuming Eastern Conference clubs. The other will play host to the resuming Western Conference clubs. Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Again, the final determination will depend on COVID-19 conditions, testing availability, and government regulations.
Okay, so Joe Haggerty yesterday was saying that he heard that more than likely it would be Vegas in the West and Columbus in the East. Another thing that the NHL is planning on doing right is daily testing for every player. The NHL estimates it could be upwards of 25,000 tests, and it will cost them millions of dollars, but obviously this is not a time to jack around. The NHL plans to test players every night during the postseason, and the test results, they'll see it next morning.
You seen them tests? That don't look pleasant.
So the nose ones?
They got up in there.
That Q-tip goes way up. Yep.
Yeah, that gets right up in your brain.
Yeah, it does.
Imagine doing that every day.
Yeah, I had that was my flu test. Yeah, that was my flu test in February. That was ugly. I hated it.
Did you ever have a flu test?
Yeah, that instead of when I got tested, I didn't feel well. You guys remember I took a couple of days off in February. That's what they did to me to determine whether or not I had the flu. They put the Q-tip way up there.
I had a flu test at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I had one of those. So, I mean, it goes up to you, touches your brain pretty much.
Oh, well, it must be nice to have the insurance to get the flu test. See, all I do is get tested for gonorrhea, and then I'm good to go. I eat some moldy bread, and I'm
different
on my
hole.
Way.
Yeah. That's right. It doesn't go in your nose.
No difference.
Yeah. No, it goes in your ear.
Yes, it does. So
that's how they do it now. It's just all anal thermometers nowadays. That's how they're tested for anything. But, yes, that coronavirus test, boy, I saw someone getting it. And, boy, that's the longest Q-tip I've ever seen.
It just feels like you want to sneeze. Like, when it goes up your nose, like, everything inside your nose, like, says, get this out. So you have this, like, reaction, like, you want to just sneeze it out. And then when they pull it out, your eyes, like, water. But it's not that bad. A lot of people are freaking out about it. It actually isn't that bad. It's just a little uncomfortable. Not too crazy. But this is the point where, with Gary Bettman, you'd start thinking, hey, regular season's done, so that means David Pastrnak is the co-winner of the Rocket Richard Trophy. That would also mean Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak. They won the William M. Jennings Trophy for allowing the fewest goals against?
Of course.
But no, the NHL is still the NHL, and they find a way to screw things up. So after all that came out, everyone's like, hey, everybody have a party. Greg Wyshynski from Yahoo last night tweeted, don't give Alex Ovechkin and David Pastrnak the Rocket Richard Trophy yet. The Players Association executive director tells ESPN that there's been no collectively bargained decision on where statistics for the qualification round are going to be counted. So I don't know.
What difference does it make? Who cares?
Well, here's what it makes.
Unless and this you get is, bonus.
This, well, that's it. That's for the players. This is why they care, because there's certain things like numbers that they'll hit that they get certain amount of money, and they don't know if it's going to be prorated, but maybe that means the stats will continue into the playoffs. Maybe the chase for 50 goals continues for Pasta, that everyone's been, yay, 50 goals.
You know what? But he can handle that, and his agent can handle that. I could give a rat's ass if if he wins the Rocket Richard Award or the Scooby Don Flabbable Award for, you know, look at me, our two goalies were the best.
It's the William M. Jennings Trophy. Come on. Fewest goals against.
Oh, what are you? Don't even follow hockey. You didn't know the William H. Jennings Trophy.
So that is a, I mean, you know, just the NHL, a lot of this was, we'll figure it out. But at least there's something here. You know, it's almost like 60-40. It's like 60% here's our plan, and 40%, well, you know, we'll see. We'll figure it all out. Right. So I like it. And John, you know, one thing that they did not mention in this was actual dates when this was all going to happen. But the speculation is mid-July, John. Am I right?
Yeah.
That
mid-July, late July, that's when they'll start it. And then they still want to get an 82-game season in next year, which means
you can't afford to
start it too late because, again, you got to get it done before the Olympics, I think.
Yeah, I heard
in July.
I heard him say January is when they would think about starting that at the latest. All right. Well, listen, and also big news, Dr. Demento is going to be the musical. You know how they sometimes have John Tesher, they'll have like the five play.
Right.
Actually, Dr. Demento.
Don't tease going me. To be
the Dr. Demento All-Stars are going to be playing.
Don't tease me. It's too early
the finals.
They're doing that because they can't hold the NHL awards anymore. And he was the entertainment that was booked. In a long line of the type of people that they do book at the NHL awards, like Modest Yahoo 2 years ago.
Yes, where he's not even a hot seat anymore. He's just some guy. But, yes, they were going to have on various their instruments them do the national anthem. In a truly goofy way. All right, Rich. Well, there is more of these sports seem like they're going to happen, unless again we get hit with wave after wave of this and never see the station again. But Rich, what will we talk about next?
We're never going to see baseball again.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
I think that everyone's going to go, I want money. All right, but we'll talk about why not, or maybe why, and we'll have that for you. Hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
If you love Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, if you love Rage Against the Machine, if you love Pinkerton, if you love Dark Side of the Moon, if you love Radiohead, then you know a man by the name of Jeff Passan from ESPN who, as he broadcasts from home, he proudly displays the covers of those albums, giving you an insight into his non-baseball personality. The man has Wu-Tang, and he has Rage Against the Machine. He likes Dark Side of the Moon. He's the guy. And so don't let the tie fool you. This guy came to party. This guy is not your dad's baseball reporter. And I notice that every time that I see him.
Because he's got like the Evil Empire thing right behind his head. He can't
That's
miss
right.
It.
Yes, he's got 36 Chambers by the Wu, but his head covers it up because it's a little too controversial. Then he's got Evil Empire by Rage Against the Machine. Then he's got Pinkerton by Weezer. Dark Side of the Moon. Have you heard about that?
I heard it's a pretty good album. I don't know. I've heard a couple people talk about that band before, but
I mean, they're a band called it's called Orange Boy. And then he's got one of them Radiohead albums that's not any good that people pretend to like. So there he is.
I'm rolling
right
into Fenway with my stat book. People ain't seen a writer get mad since they took out, I don't know. Every time I hear that, I just think of like Wallach like with his stats. Yeah.
Him and Roach.
That's right. Rage Against the DH. Yep.
Danny and I used to sit in the back row of the press box together. Yep.
My scorebook is full of scratches.
Yep.
That is the Dan Roach special. All right. Well, speaking of Mr. Passan, what say you about the cluster F that happened yesterday?
There is a lot of ground left to be covered. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're not going to have a baseball season at this point. I think it's way too early for that. But look, both sides eventually are going to have to come to some place of agreement, or we're not going to see baseball in the United States in 2020.
Yeah, we're never seeing baseball again. Yesterday was supposed to be. Well, yesterday was supposed to be the day that greedy-ass owners and whiny-ass players were supposed to sit down and finally figure out some sort of compromise to get the game started. Players have already agreed to one massive pay cut for games not played, and the owners wanted them to give up more. So here's what the owners presented. Instead of screwing all of the players equally, now they want to screw some players badly and other players royally. The owner's proposal was a sliding scale based on your salary. The more you make, the more the owners weren't going to pay you. For example, if you were a player that was supposed to make $1 million this year, now you'd get about $430,000. That's a 57% pay cut. But if you were someone who was set to make $35 million, you're getting a 78% pay cut. $35 million turns into $7.8 million. Now, I've been saying this all along. No one looks good in this. But when you're asking players to take a 78% pay cut when you're a billionaire, you're the jackass.
Well, here's the strategy. Is that you tell, well, the majority of the players, obviously, the vast majority of players are on the lower end of the scale. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying to the, every business does this. Mm-hmm. Every business does this. They say, if you want the people that maybe not don't make as much to get paid, then you're going to have to sacrifice. This is the tax system that we have in this country. So the what the idea is they're going to say the majority of players are going to make far more money if you are willing to take these pay cuts. And the idea is to have the Players Association have the majority of their – this is just all my opinion, and I would believe I'm right – is to pressure the Players Association into saying, do we super serve the highest amount of players – or do we kind of cave in to the highest paid players? And that's got to be what the owners were thinking. And now,
of course it was. This is another way to kind of. Of course it is. This is a sneaky good way to negotiate.
Yes.
Because do you really think Ryan Brazier? I think he's making like under $600,000. Do you really think he's going to turn his back on $250,000? I mean,
exactly.
This is a guy who wants to get paid. He's like, I don't care if Mike Trout makes $6 or $7 million this year. I want my money, and I'm in the majority. This is a brilliant negotiating tool by the owners.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they look bad, but it's smart, especially when you look at how the union has really put it to them salary-wise over how many years? 30? I mean, they've been paying through the nose, and they don't want to anymore. And this is a perfect way to lower salaries acceptable fashion.
You are going to see baseball without stars then.
Yes.
I hope you like baseball without superstars because you're someone who is slated to make $35 million, and they're going to try to cut almost 80% of your salary.
Right. And no, you know what?
Not worth
Mike Trout. Mike Trout, who I guess makes around $36 or $37 million, says he's going to walk away for different reasons, but say he's not going to play. Fine. The sport has survived with big name players and not big name players. And some of the players, well, you know what? It's still there. And I still, and especially in today's day and age, baseball has a great opportunity, and Tim Brown of Yahoo wrote about this last night. Baseball has a great opportunity to garner some much-needed goodwill. They have the chance to be the first sport back. If they get their act together and get these people in spring training and can start around July 4th, which is still a possibility at this moment, they could be the first sport back in the United States playing games.
And that's not something you can overlook. They are blowing the chance to do that.
They're negotiating, and all they need is a majority of the Players Association to agree on it.
They've already negotiated. Like, the negotiation
They didn't know what the situation was going to be.
Do you know when that thing was signed? March 26th.
Yes, but
we were in the quarantine for 2 weeks, and I can pull up about 5 articles that talked about how when sports returned, there would be no one in the stands. The owners knew there would be no owners in the stands.
Both sides are
players
awful
in the
this.
Stands. But that is completely lying.
They didn't know for what length of time that there wasn't going to be fans in the
stands. Right, there were tons of articles saying that when sports returned, did they expect them going from being everybody stuck in their house and nobody being near each other to full stands or even half-filled stands?
Yes.
Absolutely not. That's disingenuous. Yes. Fred, no, I can pull
it's not disingenuous.
I disagree with that.
Think that they knew that there was never going to be fans in
the stands? No, I, not I never
going to be
fans.
No, hold
they
on.
Knew
I
that
think
there was
the
a
owners,
chance that the season no. might finish without players because there
I
were
think
tons
the owners
of articles
are just as
about.
Shady, Fred. I mean, think about it. We were just talking about an article in The Athletic yesterday written by Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick. The players wanted financial disclosure from the owners as to how exactly they were going to lose all these billions of dollars. They had over a week to get them some financial statements and didn't give them all of them. The owners are hiding something here. There's something wrong with these negotiations on both sides. Both sides are to blame here. The players are being greedy. The owners are equally as bad. And it's a bad look at this sport.
The players have given up half their salary. Half their salary they've given up.
Right.
And now the owners want them to give up more when they already had a good faith negotiation.
Because, again, the owners can make the argument that now that they're certain of what's happening, the financials have changed. The owners need baseball to happen. The owners need they need the season to happen. They're not going to penny pinch to not have this go on. I mean, they're negotiating.
And yet they're submitting. Well, they're submitting proposals. They know the players are going to reject.
Exactly.
I think they're fully prepared to lose money for this season. I think they're fully prepared not to have a season.
Fine. Then they might be fully prepared to lose money. If they are fully prepared not to have a season, then they're completely idiotic.
Yep.
Because they can't afford to do that. And by the way they're negotiating this is perfect. It's because, again, you're going to get a majority of the Players Association saying, if I'm making $1 million and I probably am looking at a 4-year career or a 5-year career, I'm not turning down any money. I mean, screw that. You can call me a scab. You can call me whatever you want, but I need this money to sit on. I'm not, you know, Trout, if you don't want to play because you make $36 million. And by the way, if you're the first sport back, you think anyone's going to give a rat's ass that Mike Trout's not playing? I mean, I'm thinking of my favorite team, and I can think of two guys in a pitcher.
If they drag their feet, they're not going to be the first sport back, though, Fred.
But
you have to understand. I mean,
you understand that this is one day. This has been one proposal. Yesterday was the beginning of the new round of negotiations.
But they doubled down, Fred. Originally, it was a 50-50 split, and this proposal was actually worse.
It made it worse. They went
I
the other
understand
direction.
That, but you're super serving the majority of the Players Association. And they're banking on the players that make less money agreeing to play, and they're willing to roll the dice. Because, all right, so I'm a Cardinals fan. So say Flattery doesn't pitch, and Goldschmidt doesn't play, and Molina doesn't play, even though Molina would play. I'm still going to watch Cardinal games. I mean, I'll watch Harrison Bader. I'll watch Colton Wong. I'll watch those guys. It doesn't matter to me. So it doesn't matter.
Fred, even guys who are making $5 million are being asked to have a 65% pay cut.
No, see, I'm reading 50% pay cut.
See, no, because a $5 million for the year would knock you down to 1.64. So that's definitely more than 50. I mean, that's like a 65%. That's like around 60%.
What they've done is they've taken a percentage off of the prorated salary. That's the thing. You get a percentage cut from the prorated salary that's already been taken off. That's how they're doing it.
Yep.
Well,
I mean,
the owners could
make this happen right away, and the players have given up a lot, and the owners keep wanting more and more and more.
Well,
and
the players
at some
gave
point,
up.
The owners are the jackasses.
No, the players gave up money because 50%. They're going to play. Yeah, because they're going to play 100 less games than they were going to originally play. I mean, yeah, they're missing 100 games. They only have to play 82 games. Of course, they're going to have to give up money. I mean, that's the situation. And if I'm You're putting the Players Association in a very – I'm actually very impressed by what Major League Baseball owners did. You're putting – I think it was very wise, and they'll tweak it. But you're saying to the – you know, the veteran players – or not the veteran players, but you're saying to the guys that, you know, the minority that make all that money, all right, you're going to screw the little guy. That's fine. And they're saying the little guy.
No, it's brilliant, but no, I don't like Tony Clark, side in this.
Well, fine. Who cares? I mean, as long as they play. But if Tony Clark goes to the Players Association, he goes, here's a vote. You know, the guys that are making, you know, from $500,000 to $5 million are all going to go, yep, I'm playing. And so there you go. If I'm making $5 million, if you're making $5 million. And you probably have 5-year career. You're not taking the money? I'm taking the money. Hell yeah, I'm taking that money. For an 82-game season? Of course I am. And yeah, then, we'll by see. The way, what if you win? Well, I mean, there's an opportunity to be a star. I mean, you're making yourself – and these aren't – by the way, these aren't scabs. These aren't guys that are going against the union. The guys that would look bad are the star players that weren't playing. And then you're losing, and I know baseball's not huge with, you know, advertising revenue or endorsement revenue, but I mean you're losing all that revenue.
If the owners just agreed to it now, they would have such a foot up on the NHL and the NBA.
I know.
But the way it looks like right now, they're going to start at the same time. And to be honest, who's going to watch regular season baseball over the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs?
Well, I don't.
Baseball needs to get ahead of this.
They
need to get ahead.
And I believe they will because the union's going to – well, I think I am right because the union – they're going to – the owners are going to, of course, tweak this. No negotiation in the history of time has just ended with the first – I mean, they're in a process of negotiation. But what the owners are doing right now is very, very smart. And then if I was the owners, I'd come back and I'd give the lower-paid players even more of a percentage. And I would – and then you'd go, okay, and then vote. Then Tony Clark, have them vote. You were an average first baseman for the Tigers. Have them vote. And then you see what happens in that vote. And you see when baseball comes back. And if you think that Mike Trout sitting out or Bryce Harper sitting out is going to change the average baseball fan's whole view of the game, I don't think that's true at all. I think having baseball, just having it every day, that's the advantage baseball has. It's just on every day. And it's just something that you can tune into. It's not something that needs to be watched, you know, every game in its entirety. I think that the owners are eventually going to win this. But listen, I'm all for the unions, but there's a good way to break a union, and that is to super serve the least paid. All right. Well, listen, there is real problems in the world, and there's people that are doing dumb things. People have come up with unique ways to celebrate certain milestones and things of that nature, and there are people out there that are fat comic book nerds that are trying to ruin it. We'll explain in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.